you don't know this, the message is usually sometime the week after the message has been spoken. All the messages are on our website, audio version, alfrooted.com, and he takes the time every week to put those up there. And I had asked him about this one, and he had some struggles with it initially, but he got it up yesterday, and I wanted to hear it because I wanted to hear exactly Pastor Shane's words, because I had kind of paraphrased it in my notes, but I listened to it this morning and jotted them down because it's what triggered this message. And here's what he said. He actually referenced Pastor Ben's message from the week before about a forgiving God, and this is something that we need to continue to do, is pay attention and connect dots between what's spoken one week, what's spoken the next, and then opportunities you have throughout that week to put it into practice, because it all matters. And so the week before, Pastor Ben spoke this amazing message about our forgiving God. It's why we can stand here today. It's why we're washed. It's why we're sanctified. It's why we're justified, because we have a forgiving God. And so toward the point of his message, Pastor Shane said that we sang a song that morning called A Forgiving God, and then Pastor Ben spoke about a forgiving God. And Pastor Shane said that as he looked around the room, he saw and was reminded of how many people in the room have been radically transformed. How many people have been radically transformed? And he said that there was a lot of evidence in this body and in this room of the power of the blood to revive and revive dead bones, to revive dead bones, to bring life to dead bones. And then he said this. He said, there are former addicts in this place. There are former drunks in this place. There are former adulterers in this place, former liars in this place, former idolaters in this place, former homosexuals in this place, former atheists in this place. And then he said, formerly bound, finally free. Yes. Formerly bound, finally free. And he said, our lives testify that there is no place that the blood of Jesus doesn't go. There's no place, there's no life too far gone. There's no sin too hard. That's me now talking, not his message. But that's what he said. And then he asked this question. So the only question we have is, what have you done with that truth? He said it's the most important question you'll ever answer. What have you done with that truth? And so today, when he spoke those words, my mind immediately went to this verse from 1 Corinthians. And this is Paul speaking to us, teaching us, and he says, do you not know that wrongdoers will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor men who have sex with men, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor slanderers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. And that is what some of you were. And we can put anything else in there. Anything else that we were. That's what some of you were. Were. Past tense. Past tense. Past tense. My mind immediately went to this verse, and the Holy Spirit immediately began preparing this message for today. Because here's the message. You were washed. You were washed. You were sanctified. You were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. And that's what we're going to look at today. Immediately, I knew this was an example of the living and active Word of God playing out right in front of us. That's what some of you were. But because of the love and forgiveness of Jesus, those sins, those descriptions, those struggles no longer define who you are. They no longer grip you, because Jesus took the grips off and set you free. And so when we were singing that song, my whole life, our response to that is, my whole life for your glory, Jesus. You did that for me. If he did that for you, my whole world for you only. And Pastor Shane talked throughout his message about some of his own struggles and how they persuaded him, his forgiveness and his love persuaded him to live life differently. How can I not dedicate the rest of my life in service to you? He sort of said that. That's my paraphrase. So as I spent time Monday morning, the very next day, I sat down and I was starting to write some of this down. And I was meditating and praying over these verses. That's what some of you were, just kept coming back. That's what some of you were, but you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified, and I began digging into what these words mean. And we're going to explore that today. That's what some of you were suggests in Paul's context, that it's no longer who you are. Whatever who you were is, it doesn't fit any of these categories for you, but you were something that was less than what Jesus created you to be. There was some sin, some besetting sin, some brokenness. And inherent in these words, that I've been washed, that I've been sanctified, that I've been justified, is that I now have a responsibility to respond to this amazing work of Jesus. To this new power that is available to live out in my life. So we're going to take a closer look at what these three words mean. You were washed. You were washed. It speaks of new life, regeneration. New life, regeneration, forgiveness. We have a forgiving God. Again, Pastor Ben's word 2 weeks ago. So we read in Titus, at one time we too were foolish, disobedient, deceived, and enslaved by all kinds of passions and pleasures. Probably every one of us can think of a time when there was something about that sentence that applied to you. We lived in malice and envy, being hated and hating one another. But when the kindness and love of God, our Savior, appeared, he saved us. Not because of any righteous thing that we've done, nothing that you have done to earn that, but because of his mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us generously. He's still doing that. He's still doing that. Through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that having been justified by his grace, we might become heirs, having the hope of eternal life. This is a trustworthy saying, and I want you to stress these things so that those who have trusted in God may be careful to devote themselves to doing what's good. These things are excellent and profitable for everybody. So if we've been washed, if we've been sanctified, if we've been justified, you've been trusted to carefully devote yourself then to living life differently. And I'm not talking about living life perfectly. Scriptures tell us repeatedly that we fall short. We know that. I'm not talking about falling short. I'm talking about intentional decisions we make on how we're going to live our life. And ask yourself, does my life look like I've been washed? Does my life look like I've been sanctified? We'll get to that description of that in a little bit. Does my life look like I've been justified? We're having a baptism today upstairs in the refinery. Those who have made the decision to get into those baptism waters are declaring to the world that they no longer belong to its systems. They no longer belong to the passions and the sins that used to control their lives. Anybody that still wants to participate, there's forms out there on the gray stand. Hebrews 10 says this, therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence now to enter the most holy place. That's what we were doing this morning in our worship, entering the most holy place, entering into his presence, coming close to him. We have confidence to do that. By a new and living way opened up for us through that curtain, that is his body, Since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to him. Draw near to him with a sincere heart, with full assurance that faith brings. Drawing near to him every day. We get to come close every day and say, Lord, I need you again today. Having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience, having our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess. That means every day I'm going to hold close to this. I'm not going to swerve back to this old habit that had no value to me, that led me to sin. I'm not going to swerve to the right to this thing that caused me a lot of strain and trouble and chaos. So we hold unswervingly to that hope. For he who promised is faithful. Let us consider then how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another all the more as we see the day approaching. If we deliberately keep on sinning after we've received the knowledge of the truth, no sacrifice for sins is left, but only a fearful expectation of judgment. Remember that verse started, said, wrongdoers will not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, we've all been wrongdoers, but we've been forgiven, so we have access to the kingdom of God. We will inherit the kingdom of God because we've received that forgiveness, and then we live it out. Only a fearful expectation of judgment and of raging fire that will consume the enemies of God. So, again, washing speaks of new life. Sanctification. You've been sanctified. You've been sanctified, and it means you've been set apart. You've been set apart. Once we say yes to that forgiveness of sins and we receive that washing, that new life, then he says, I want to set you apart. And I can look around this room and see the people that Pastor Shane identified. I'm not going to identify individuals that fit any of those categories, but I could walk around this room and say, you've been set free, and now you're set apart to live life differently. And you're cooperating with that. You're doing it. And again, none of us is doing it perfectly, but you're doing it. Peter, at the very beginning of the first book of Peter, says this. He's writing to God's elect here, and he says, they have been chosen through the sanctifying work of the Spirit to be obedient to Christ. So he's saying that part of being part of the elect is that you are to be set apart. And so ask yourself, does my life look in some ways like it's been set apart? And I don't mean that the spotlight's on you. It means that you live life differently than you used to live, and that is tangible. I can look around the room here. We refer to this all the time in some of our small group gatherings of lives that we've gotten to watch be transformed because, first of all, Jesus did it, and then you cooperated. Jesus did it. And then you cooperated, because both are important. Jesus can save you, and then you can just walk and say, well, he saved me, but it doesn't require anything of me. Well, that's just not true. That's just not true. It's a free gift, and it's not about works, but it's cooperating with the truth of the Scriptures. And then to the church at Corinth, Paul says kind of the same thing. To those sanctified in Christ, this is the whole book's written to those who are set apart in Christ Jesus and called to be his holy people, together with all those everywhere who call on the name of our Lord Jesus. And then everything that he writes then is instruction for how to do that. How to do that. This whole idea of being set apart, that was our word for the year in 2021. And it was coming on the heels of COVID. Coming on the heels of COVID, where the Lord said to us as a body, I'm setting you apart. I'm setting you apart. He's still setting us apart. He's still setting you apart for his purposes. Our word this year is to move onward and upward, to advance the kingdom. So he's setting us apart in 2026 to advance the kingdom. And you'll do that by your obedience to his instructions, by your obedience to living out that you've been washed, living out that you've been sanctified. If anyone cleanses himself from what is dishonorable, he will be a vessel for honorable use, set apart as holy, useful to the master of the house, ready for every good work. That was the scripture that went with that word in 2021. You're set apart, ready for every good work. Because even though this isn't about works, he opens up doors for us to serve other people, to care for other people, to do things for the kingdom that would be considered good works. But it doesn't earn us anything. It's just part of walking in our obedience. In 2 Thessalonians, Paul says this, "We ought always to thank God for you, brothers and sisters, because God chose you as first fruits to be saved through the sanctifying work of the Spirit, the set-apart work of the Spirit, and through belief in the truth. He called you to this," the scripture says. "He called you to this through our gospel that you might share in the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. So then, brothers and sisters, stand firm and hold fast to the teachings we passed on to you, whether by word or of mouth or by letter. May our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who loved us and by his grace gave us eternal encouragement and good hope, encourage your hearts and strengthen you in every way. May he encourage your hearts and strengthen you in every way, in every good deed, in every word." So his part of his plan is for once you've been set apart for this work to happen inside of us, day by day by day by day by day. And then in James, the scripture says, don't merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. I can listen to the word. Jesus loves you, he wants to forgive you, and receive that. What do I do with that? How do I respond to that? Do what it says, the scripture says. Do what it says. It's why over and over and over again here you'll hear, our foundation is in the Word. Foundation is in the Word. The Word is our is the final say. If we think the Holy Spirit says something to us that differs from the Word, dismiss it. It's not Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit will not differ from the Word of God. Anyone who listens to the Word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard, but doing it, they'll be blessed in what they do. And there's testimonies all around this room of just blessings that have poured into people's lives as they've said yes to Jesus and then cooperated with the washing work, cooperating with the sanctifying work of Jesus. And then in John 17, when Jesus was praying before he was leaving the world, this is one of my favorite things to study is John 17, and we talk about it frequently around here. But here's what he says as he's praying. He says, my prayer is not that you, and he's talking about us, he's talking about the disciples. He's saying, my prayer is not that you take them out of the world. Oh boy, how many times do we say, Lord, just take me out of here? Nothing wrong with those occasional prayers. Just take me out of here, I'm ready. I'm ready, for whatever reason we say it. But his prayer was that doesn't happen. My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I'm not of it. But he says, set them apart, sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. As you've sent me into the world, I've sent them into the world. So there's a mission. There's a mission. I'm sending you into the world, all of you. I've set you apart to be sent into the world. For them I sanctify myself that they too may be sanctified. They may too be truly set apart. My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message. So that's the reason he wants you to live a set apart life, is because the message people see in you is going to bring someone to Jesus. It's going to bring someone to salvation. So it's not without purpose. It's not without purpose. And then justification. Justified means that you have a new standing with Jesus. A new standing. You have a new identity. It has everything to do with he calls you righteous now. And so what do I do with this new identity of righteousness? Well, I have to walk it out. I got to walk it out. I can't do all the things I used to do. And the reality is I don't have to because I've been freed. They don't have the grip on me anymore. And I have to cooperate with that. And so in 2 Corinthians, this is a familiar passage to most of us. If anyone's in Christ, the new creation has come. The old is gone, the new is here. Now, that's a progressive work that continues to go on. We haven't arrived yet. We're still in the process of that transformation. And little by little, by little, by little, by little, sometimes in big steps, sometimes little steps, the old goes. I don't know about everybody else, but I don't think the way I used to think. I don't hardly even remember how I used to think. The old is gone, the new has come. All this is from God who reconciled us to himself through Christ, gave us the ministry of reconciliation. So not only has he done this for us, he said, I want you to be part of that equation for others, to help others be reconciled to Jesus. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. And he has committed to us this message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. So you've been washed, you've been sanctified, you've been justified so that you can become an ambassador. But it means living it out, walking it out. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. I'll say that today. If you're in this room today and you're not reconciled to God, have not reconciled yourself to God, I will encourage you today. It's the best decision you'll ever make. Best decision you'll ever make. Reconcile yourself to God. He's got a plan for you. He's got a purpose for you. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. That's your new identity. That's your new identity. Justified, made righteous by the blood of Jesus. So I don't have to walk in unrighteousness any longer. Then Romans describes this a little further. This righteousness is given through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. All who believe. There's no difference between Jew and Gentile, for all have sinned, fall short of the glory of God. All are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Jesus. Available to every person. Available to every person. What do we do with that? What do we do with that? I've talked about this verse in the past, and because I remember a time after I came to know Jesus, and I was attending a Bible study. I was after we started attending here, and I was attending a Bible study at Bill Arnn's house. Some of you remember Bill Arnn was a wonderful, wonderful man of God, leader in life, and he was sharing this verse, and it says very simply, it's a very familiar verse. I've been crucified with Christ. I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me. And I was sitting there at this prayer meeting where he was talking about this, and I said to myself, I cannot say that. I cannot say this verse and have it be true, because there was too much of Jeff Shoke and my own agenda and my own thoughts and my own struggles that were still alive. And I had to come to terms with the idea that I wanted to be able to say this. I wanted to be able to verbalize this. That I no longer live. I no longer live. That instead the life I live in this body now, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me. And from that day forward, I'm not saying I ever lived perfectly every day since then, but something changed. Something changed. As I said, I want to die to myself. I want to die. I want to be able to say I've been crucified with Christ. And he enabled that He empowered that to happen. And then Paul says in Ephesians, you were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted. Old self, boy, old self still wants to corrupt us. And it does not take long. Doesn't take long. One step of disobedience. And I'm not talking about perfection here. We all fall short. I'm talking about intentional actions, intentional things, decisions that we know are wrong, and we do them anyway. Put off your old self, which is being corrupted by deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds. That's why the word's so important daily. The word is so important daily. That's not legalism. That's just truth. It's just truth. Letting our eyes see the word, letting our ears hear the word, because it keeps us in step with the Holy Spirit. And to be put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holy. Why? Because that's our new identity. That's our new identity. That's what justification looks like. So as I was creating this little graphic, I didn't do the artwork with the little door there with the man walking out of it, but as I was looking at it, it was such a reminder to me of what actually happens when we say yes to Jesus. That's a dark room. We live in darkness before Jesus. Before Jesus. But when he washes us, gives us a new life, forgives us, when he sanctifies us, when he sets us apart, when he justifies us and says, righteousness is now who you are, who I've made you to be, then we get to walk out of that darkness, and you can see the man's walking into the light. And we get to walk in that light day by day by day by day by day and never return to the darkness. Never return to the darkness. These three, washing, sanctifying, justifying, they're all intertwined. But I think sometimes we stop at the washing. We like the washing. The washing feels good. It's refreshing. Everybody likes a good shower. So even in the physical, we like the washing. And so when Jesus promises, I can wash you, I can set you free, we like the cleansing, the feel of being cleansed. Cleansing from the weight and filth of sin feels good. We like forgiveness, and we need it, and we recognize that. But I think we sometimes struggle with the idea that because of that now, I'm set apart. That I can't weave between the old life and the new life. I can't say, well, I don't feel like following Jesus today. Well, he didn't feel like going to the cross for you either, but he did it. We struggle sometimes with the idea of this new standing called righteousness because somehow we think, well, because I know I'm going to fall short, I can't really live up to that, so I might as well just give in. No. You don't have to. You don't have to. Holy Spirit is there every day to empower you. The body of Christ is available at times to help you. Hey, I'm struggling. Okay, let's talk about that. Let's deal with that. Let's pray together about that. Let's go to the feet of Jesus together with that. Let's worship Jesus for a while. There's all kinds of resources available for us to have no excuse on why we stop at the washing and don't move on to the set apartness. And don't move on to the righteousness is now my identity. At one point, when I was working on this Monday, and I had created this graphic, and I'm writing down some of these scriptures, and I looked out my window, and for about 10 minutes, it was snowing. At first, it was just a tiny little bit, and then it was full-on snow. It caught my attention, And I thought of this. Come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be white as snow. And that was just like a word. It was just like a now word from the Holy Spirit. There's this idea of being washed, of being sanctified, of being justified, that when he forgives us, and he was bringing the snow for just this very brief amount of time to remind us of the power of his hand to heal, to forgive sin, and then to say, I want to forgive your sin, but I want to do so much more. I want to use you. I want to set you apart. I want sanctification to be yours. I died for that. I want you to walk in this new identity called righteousness. And so these 10 minutes of snow, the Lord was just saying, this is a now word for God's people now. And then he reminded me of this other passage about snow. For as the rain and snow, from Isaiah, as the rain and snow come down from heaven and do not return, but water the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word that goes out from my mouth, it shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I have purposed, shall succeed in the thing for which I sent it. And so he's bringing now words, these now words, a forgiving God. That's who some of you were, but you're not any longer. Because I've washed you, and I've sanctified you, and I've justified you. Now words. Now word, the forgiveness that Pastor Ben spoke of, it's for you now. The washing for you to begin a new life, it's for you now. The sanctifying work to set you apart, to live solely for his purpose, it's for you now. The justifying work to establish you in righteousness, your new identity, it's for you now. Onward and upward, advancing the kingdom, it's for us now. See, it's not just for us to receive this. It's for us to turn around and give it away. Give it away. I want you to ask yourself, do people looking at my life, at your life, recognize that I've been washed? And again, we're not looking for that. We're not looking for somebody to come up to me and say, what's different about you or what is it about you? It just is. It just becomes who we are. It just becomes who we are. We live life differently. And if people knew you before and they know you now, do they notice any difference? Has there been a change? I've been saying this quite a bit lately, just in mainly small groups, but I've said it up here before. I'm all about connecting dots. I'm all about paying attention to who's in the room. And when Pastor Shane spoke that last week and said, some of you were this, some of you were that, some of you were this, some of you were that, it's purposeful. It's purposeful for a number of reasons. First of all, it's purposeful you to come into a place where you're going to be loved. If you come in here as an addict, we're going to love you so that you don't have to live life as an addict. Jesus is going to love you better than we will, but we're going to be part of that equation. If you come in here with whatever the struggle is, but I'm always connecting dots, always connecting dots. I every week I make lists. I make lists. Here's last week's list of everybody that was in the room. Everybody was in the room. And I'm not doing that to say, oh, that's really awesome. I'm doing that because we have to connect dots of what Holy Spirit's doing among us. And if I know who's been in the room, then we can pray for who's been in the room. And we can ask others to pray for who's in the room. There's a young father and son back there that I met this morning. They're here for the first time. They don't know anybody here. At least they don't think they know anybody here. There's probably, there may be somebody across the room you don't know. But I know their names. Dusty and Dusty Bowling. Bowley, B-O-L-E-Y. But they're in the room today. And so when the Lord brings somebody in the room, I know that there's a purpose for that. There's a couple of ladies here. I don't know them either. They walked in the room. We'll find out before we leave who they are. Why? Why do we want to do that? Because if you walked in the room, Jesus wants you to know he cares about you. And because he cares about you, we care about you. We care about your burdens. We care about your struggles. We care about your victories. And so it's all about connecting dots. And so we don't live life here from service to service to say, oh, that was a great message, and then go out and say, oh, that was a great message, and then do nothing with it. No, Holy Spirit is alive and well, and he everything is purposeful. It's all connected. And we're all connected because of it. Sometimes I want to walk around the room and say, Wayne, stand up and tell us your story. Because it is powerful. It is real. It is transformative. I want to walk around the room and just, because there's so many redemptive stories in this room of a life changed because Jesus washed you, because Jesus sanctified you, because Jesus justified you, and you said yes to all that. You said yes to all that. You didn't stop with, I like the forgiveness part, but don't ask me to do anything else. I like the promise of heaven, which is a wonderful promise. But it doesn't stop there. It's the, as Pastor Shane says, it's the best thing you'll ever do by responding to the fact that you were washed, by responding to the fact that you were sanctified, by responding to the fact that you were justified, that he calls you righteous now. What am I going to do with that? Men of Valor this past week, Sean Danks led the class, and this caught my attention, so I wrote it down. He was talking about just sometimes our witness could look like. And he said, here's what he said. I am going to every day lay down my life for Christ so that nothing I do will trip up anybody who is watching my life. I'm going to say that again. I'm going to every day lay down my life for Christ so that nothing I do will trip up anybody who is watching my life. Everything in my power to never do anything that will get in your way. And I thought, oh my goodness, that's a picture of being washed. It's a picture of being sanctified. That's a picture of being justified and living it out. Living it out. That's what I want my life to look like. I don't want anything I do, anything I say to trip anybody up, to give them a wrong impression of who Jesus is, to give them a wrong impression. And again, we fall short. I don't want anybody walking out and thinking, well, I got to do everything perfectly. No, we fall short. We say, Jesus, I fell short today. Help me to do better. Forgive me of my sin. Again, but don't let me make an excuse for it. Don't allow me to wallow in it and then just surrender to it more, because it does not take long. It doesn't take long at all to mess up. We mess up. It's why we have a Savior that we still need to rely on every single day. When we mess up, we need to fess up. You can quote Lindsay Muir on that. It's a true statement. Let's stand. So we have baptism again today. So anybody wants to be baptized, if you do, fill out a form. Come on upstairs. And if you don't know where that is, ask somebody where the baptism is. I also want to give you an assignment, that this idea of connecting dots and who's in the room, you're part of that equation. You're part of that equation, finding out that person that maybe you don't know, or that person maybe you've never seen before, to love on them and care for them. And we, you know, we don't really usually have to give, you know, much instruction about that, because this is a loving body. You guys are amazing. But I believe in the day we're living in, that need of making sure everybody knows they're welcome and they're loved and they're cared for falls on all of us to help with that. As I said, when I'm writing down my lists of people, throughout the week I'm messaging people saying, hey, who was that sitting next to you? Hey, who was that? Who was that with you? And I appreciate when you're finding out, like, you know, if there's somebody sitting behind you that you've never seen before, you may get a message from me saying, who was that sitting behind you? Because we want to pray for you this week. I was telling my open door class today, you know, every week I send out a prayer list to our leadership team to pray, and it's every visitor everybody that's still on a visitor's list here. You know, maybe it was the first time you were here, maybe it's the 10th time you were here, but I don't know if you're here yet. I don't know if this is your home, and I don't ever assume that that's the case. You know, we're not everybody's cup of tea. I understand that. I don't know why, but we're not. But I send a list every week, and we were walking out the door Wednesday night, and I had asked somebody that was walking out the door with me this Wednesday about somebody that was with them Sunday, and I'd asked him earlier in the week, and I explained to him why I wanted to know, and I said, yeah, you were on that list not too long ago. And as we're walking out the door, there were two other families, couples that were walking out the door. It's like, they were on the list not too long ago, and they were on the list not too long ago, and they were on the list not too long ago. And I say that to say that there's purpose in paying attention. You know, I said my daughter and my wife think I'm crazy every week when I'm sitting there writing. They're always like making fun of me. My mom had a lot of faults in her life, and you know, she gets a bad rap sometimes for all the. She had a lot of problems. Let's just say that. But she was the detail person in our family. When she died, we found like church bulletins from her entire life that, you know, had notes on how many people were there, and so they laugh at me to say, you got that from your mom. And I was like, thank you. Yeah, thank you. My mom brought something really, really good to me. Not everything good, but she brought some good things to me. But it's purposeful because he wants us paying attention. He wants us paying attention. We're not living life in a vacuum to say, you know, well, this is what happened today. No, Jesus has a plan for everything. He has a purpose and plan for everything. Everything's connected. Everything's connected. And it's all for his kingdom. And we're called this year to advance the kingdom. And so let's do it. Let's just do it. We are doing it, but let's do it more. And let's do it better. Onward and upward. Onward and upward. It's not staying in the same place. Not staying in the same place. So we're going to pray. And there'll be people here that be down here. And if you want somebody to pray with you, or if there's somebody you know and you want to go to somebody and ask for prayer, do so. Don't leave this room without reconciling whatever needs to be reconciled with Jesus. So Jesus, I thank you so much for just how good you are. That you loved us so much to say, I want to make a way for you to be washed. And I've made that way through my son Jesus. So receive Jesus, he says. Receive Jesus. That you could be washed. And don't have to bear the weight of sin and guilt and shame. And then he says, and then I want to set you apart. I want to set you apart for my purposes. And I'll use your special gifts. I'll use your special interests. be my vessel. And then he says, I want to justify you. I want you to walk in my righteousness. I want you to be an example. But here's who I used to be, dirty and unrighteous and chaotic and a mess. And then I want to bring, through my work of righteousness and justification, I want to bring order and clarity and confidence. And I want to use you. I want to use you to demonstrate to those around you who don't know me yet, who used to be still is the liar, the cheater, the idolater, the adulterer, the homosexual, the drunk, the addict. I want to bring them into the fold. I want to send you into those arenas that they too might believe my message of redemption. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you will land this word in the hearts of everybody in this room today. And whatever all you do with it, Jesus, it'll be for your glory. But let all of us be able to say, my whole life for your glory, Jesus. My whole world for you only. Indeed, that will all be for your glory, Jesus. I pray and seal this word in the hearts and minds of every person who has heard these words today. It's all for your praise, Jesus. If you want prayer, if you want to just hang out a little bit of time of worship, we'll probably be up to do baptism in about